Dr. Kabane, good to have you on the show. I trust you and the family are safe and healthy.
Well, we believe so, Kino. you're never safe, you know, during this time.
Yeah, this is so true, Doc. But I'm glad everybody's healthy at this particular time. I think it's a fair question put to us by some of our listeners, looking at the medical aids. And then you do the juxtaposition and you say to yourself, you know, you look at a discovery, and we saw in 2018 their head office, along with Zenprop and I think it's Growthpoint, they're paying those developers 23, 24 million rand a month to have consolidated headquarters. So we see all of this, and one can understand why people are saying, but hold on, you've got all this money to spend. How about looking after us when times are really tough and the economy has closed down? What's your take on that?
You know, Kino, I think, you know, everyone is trying to come to the party to try and mitigate against the financial and other consequences of this pandemic. And we appreciate, you know, the efforts that everybody is doing to do that. Because for us as a regulator, the more people, the longer people are employed, the more they are able to afford scheme membership,
yep,
and, you know, sustain the industry.
Mm.
But we've also received some inquiries from different schemes and administrators in terms of providing a contribution holiday, you know, and maybe skipping a few months to ensure that membership is maintained, even though people may not be able to pay. What we are doing at this stage is we're going to be analyzing some of these proposals because
mm-hmm.
they need to be exempted from compliance with the Act itself,
yeah,
at least some sections of the Act. And we also want to make sure that if we say yes to these exemption applications, we don't send the schemes into a tailspin where they collapse here.
Sure.
Because I'm sure you'd appreciate that schemes are not enjoying the same financial health here.
Yes.
Some are stronger than others.
Yes.
And others, you know, would have problems if no contributions come in, but claims are being paid out.
Absolutely. I mean,
we're analyzing these proposals, and in the next couple of days, we would be able to respond.
Okay.
I suspect that each case, will have to be treated on its own merit. It's not going to be a blanket approval, you know.
Well, the banks have done that, right? They said, okay, if you're in good standing, we will look at you. We will look at restructuring. We will look at – you have to look at things. I mean, doing blanket is, financial suicide, quite frankly. You need to look at these individual cases. But, for example, one of our listeners told us that since the lockdown, she couldn't leave her area to obviously buy meds at the nearest pharmacy without a co-payment being waived. So – a lot of these schemes are saying, well, you have to go and if you need to go to the doctor, you need to go to this particular doctor. If you don't go to this particular doctor or this particular group, then you are going to be liable to pay X, Y, and Z. And it's those sort of things. And I don't know if that falls in the ambit of what you've just discussed now, Dr. Kabane. But, I mean, is that not – does it fall in the ambit? And if not, is it something that one could look at almost immediately?
Kido, I think, you know, each case, we can't be ignoring any case, you know, at this moment. If, for instance, networks that were established pre the pandemic make it impossible for patients to access the network service provider, and we need to find a way of protecting these people from paying co-payment. And there are provisions in the Act which cover, you know, some of these difficult cases. For instance, if you belong to a network, a service provider, and you try and access services on an emergency basis, and they are not available, or whatever treatment that you need is not available there,
yep,
then you're allowed to go to a non-network service provider,
yep,
without having to pay that co-payment.
Okay. So
my advice would be, you know, in those circumstances, members should be able to phone schemes, and if they don't get joy in terms of you know, the responses, they can come to the Council for Medical Schemes, and we can see how we can assist those members.
Now, that's brilliant. And I'm going to encourage people to let us know, and we can obviously contact your office, or they can contact your office directly, though. What is the process? Where do we go in order to get hold of the Council for Medical Schemes? Obviously, you need to try with your service provider first. But you if you have no luck, where do you go?
You know, we're still here at the CMS. We're operating on a skeleton staff, but we're taking care of all these you know, urgent inquiries and areas where people need guidance and support. So my number is available. The ordinary complaint number that appears on our website is also available for that purpose. Our call center people are operating from home, but we've used technology to divert the complaints calls to them directly.
Okay,
and we've provided them with the company cell phones.
Brilliant. Dr. Sibukabane, Chief Executive and Registrar of the Council for Medical Aid Schemes.